fighting for America.
We will continue to call for the immediate release of detained U.S. citizens Saeed Abedini, Jason Rezaian, and Amir Hekmati.
Fighting for Idaho.
How sad was it in the streets of Paris as 40 world leaders walked down the street? Absent was the United States of America. Where was the president? Where was the vice president? Where was the secretary of state?
Fighting for you.
In this country, when it comes to medical care, we expect insurance to even cover the $4 aspirin. Yes. If you got into a fender bender every month, well, what happened to your premiums? They'd go up because you're filing too many claims. You are now high risk.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the Morning, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
KIDO, Kevin Miller in the Morning as we continue on. Phone number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. We're joined by the Assistant Majority Leader in the House, Representative Brent Crane. We've been talking about you for quite some time. He's on business, state affairs, and ways and means. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
I think the last time we were talking to each other, we were at Five Guys and Mitt Romney was in town.
Absolutely. A great day.
Yeah. So before we get to add the words and everything else in the legislature, your thoughts on Mitt Romney possibly thinking about jumping in one more time?
Well, I think he's going to. I mean, all indications are pointing to the fact that he's organizing his team. He's starting to get his financing in place. Look, he's done this twice. He knows what it's like. He knows what he's signing up for. And I will not be one bit surprised if Mitt Romney's name is on the ballot.
You know, and you know this because you've been in the arena. But I thought he was perfectly set up after the last time he was doing the appearances. And I kept saying he's sounding too good. He's too engaged. Not to be thinking about a run, but he said several times, nope, 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 nope. The critics are going to say, well, there he goes making one decision and going back on it. But what do you make of that as someone who has run campaigns, taking a look at the landscape and then jumping in?
Well, you have to assess, is the timing right? Is this the time that I should jump in again? And you weigh that out. Hey, I said I was not going to run, but you've got everybody on your side and in your camp begging you to run. You weigh all that out, and then you have to make the determination, is this truly the right time? I think when push comes to shove, and at the end of the day, you'll see Mitt Romney on the ticket in 16. I really do.
Is it too soon to get a snapshot of what this session is going to be about?
No, it's not. A lot of those issues have been talked about and vetted up front. The governor laid some of those issues out on Monday. And so you're starting to get a flavor and a sense as to what some of those issues are going to be.
Now, in the past, it's been the health exchange. It's been guns. This time around, perhaps restoring some more funding to education, a tax cut, a fuel tax, which has been percolating for quite some time since it was shot down the last time. The governor is putting it on the legislature to come up with that.
I think the governor took a very wise approach, and he learned a lot from that last gas tax debate. And that was, let's not tell the legislature how to get the funding. Let's use the collective wisdom of the legislature and let them come up with the idea. Let me address the issue that there is a need out there and let them come up with the idea of how we're going to secure that funding, whether that is through a gas tax, whether it's through registration fees, whether that's through taking some money out of the general fund. Let them make that determination, and then we'll move forward from there.
How do you deal with it? And I don't know if you're listening, Doug from CUNA calling in saying, how can you tell if a politician is lying? His lips are moving. They say one thing and do another, whether it's at the state level, the district level, the federal level. There's a lot of frustration with elected officials.
I understand exactly where Doug is coming from. And unfortunately, in this business that we call politics, those of us on the inside as well are frustrated because we see the same thing. We see the issues that a candidate will put forward on their palm card or on their website, and then when they come to Boise or they go to Washington, D.C., all of a sudden their position changes. It's just as frustrating to honest individuals that are inside the process as it is to citizens that are watching from the outside.
And coming up, we'll talk to you about the hearing the other day concerning – I guess the committee meeting concerning the hearing on Add the Words and what is happening and what isn't. We applaud your stance on sticking to your principles and defending the Idaho Constitution and traditional families. But before we get to that, I'm just trying to think of any other issues that are going to come up in the legislature that you can see that we haven't heard about yet?
Well, one of the ones that that when you were ticking through the litany of issues there that the governor had mentioned, one of them that has got a lot of talk, the governor briefly touched on it in his State of the State, was Medicaid expansion, whether the state is going to do Medicaid expansion or not. And the governor simply told the legislature, hey, look, you've got germane committees, health and welfare committees. Why don't you guys take a look at the recommendations that my health care task force, the Medicaid task force has been talking about, and see if any of those are areas where you feel like that they're right and that we should move forward, or if we should pause and not do anything right now. So that Medicaid expansion is something that some of the germane committees possibly will take up. However, I'm not hearing that there's a lot of fervor or excitement around expanding Medicaid inside the Capitol.
Is it too soon to take a look at budgetarily how we're doing based on, you know, comparative years? The governor talking about bringing back some money for education. We touched on the gas tax. But, I mean, as far as what type of budget we're going to have to work with, is the state on the road to recovery?
The state is on the road to recovery. The state is doing very well, and the governor is projecting a 5.5% increase in general fund revenues. The revenue committee met yesterday, which is a separate committee, and they came up with the exact same recommendation that, you know what, we believe the governor's right, that our state revenues are going to grow by 5.5%. The governor set his budget growth for only 5.2%. So he left some money there on the table that we can use for potentially tax relief.
You know what, sir, part of our joy here, I guess, is that we get to hear from so many folks. And the issue of, you know, jobs, and pretty much people put it on the governor that he should be bringing in jobs, but the legislature has to work with the executive branch and trying to come up with economic packages. What's the perception of our economy, real life, as far as businesses coming to Idaho from the legislature? How are you all feeling about that?
Well, Kevin, I stopped and talked with Director Jeff Sayer from the Department of Commerce on Monday, and talking a little bit about some of the economic development packages that he has put forward for the governor, which, by the way, one of the brightest hires that the governor has made was to bring Director Sayer on, comes from the private sector, understands the private sector, very energetic, very enthusiastic type guy. And we were talking about the Opportunity Fund, a fund where we give $3 million so that he can go out and attract businesses to Idaho. He has some tremendous success stories of how things are going. Businesses love the way that we have the regulatory environment that we have here in Idaho. We're very business friendly. And so we're in a very positive position right now.
Well, that's good news. And we've talked to him before, and you bringing him up, we'll have to bring him back, Representative Crane. Add the words, I was amazed at the coverage. I'm amazed, in my opinion, how the media has embraced this campaign, seeming to be an advocate for the folks. But you were the only one that was chosen, or maybe other people spoke out against this during this meeting.
Well, Kevin, I made a commitment to the voters of District 13 when I ran. Clear back in 2006, I made it again in 2008, 2010, 2012,
sure,
2014, that I stood for traditional family values, and that I also stand for traditional marriage. And when I had an opponent running against me in May of 2014, I was asked this question, will you support Add the Words? And I said, no, I will not. And so in today's culture, in today's political environment, the citizenry is so frustrated where someone will take a stand, a strong stand on an issue, and then they get to Boise or they get to Washington, D.C., and all of a sudden that stand begins to erode or it begins to shift. And I'm not going to do that. What I say in Boise and what I say in Nampa is the same. And so I made a commitment to my voters. I'm going to honor that commitment, and we'll move forward.
What's the mood all of a sudden? The impression I got all of a sudden was that forget the hearing. The bill was going to be proposed already. And that's the perception I got by watching all the news reports and reading about it. But this was just a meeting to give them a hearing. Is that correct?
Yeah. The Add the Words campaign has been around for 9 years now. And the Speaker of the House served notice to those of us in leadership in December that he felt like it was time that they actually had a hearing on the bill. What has been happening before is we've had a hearing on whether to hear the bill. And I know that may sound like a little bit of mumbo jumbo to your listeners today, but there's a process, a legislative process that we have to go through. And the first part of that process is to have a hearing where no one but the presenter of the bill can speak. And they can talk about the merits of the bill, but but those affected by the bill can't speak. And that is all that has happened over the last 9 years, is we've never moved past that process. And the Speaker of the House, Scott Bedke, said, you know, I feel like it's time that we allow the people that this bill would affect to have their voice heard. And so he said, I'm going to serve notice that I would like the House to have a hearing. And so we began to talk about the different strategies and different ways that we would do that. And we chose his committee, the Speaker's committee, which is Ways and Means, as an expedited process to make that happen. And then it will get heard in the full committee, its germane committee, State Affairs, I believe not next week, but the following week.
In my opinion, and we've talked about it here at 580KIDO, haven't we rewarded people for breaking the law? I mean, they busted into the governor's office. They stood in the hallways. They hid in a closet, a bunch of shenanigans, and essentially they get what they want. Kind of like in the old days when we were young, if you misbehaved, there were consequences. Today, everybody hears the kid cry.
Well, I don't think that we're rewarding bad behavior. There is some folks that are a part of that coalition that have made their voice heard in ways that I would not have done it, or ways that I would not recommend. But I will have to tell you, Kevin, I've been very, very impressed this year with the way the Add the Words Coalition has handled and messaged and interfaced with legislators. I've been working with these guys and talking to the Add the Words folks for a number of years. But Senator Grant McGorn, Senator Shree Buckner-Webb have created an environment where it has been very polite, very professional, and I have been very pleased that we can have a disagreement or a discussion on a very sensitive topic and do it in a very professional way.
Well, until you disagree with them,
well,
number one. And number two, I mean, they blocked the doors. They made these allegations about Idaho being a bad place. And, if I did that, I'd be arrested and charged. And not only charged, I'd have to pay a fine. I don't know whatever happened to those folks. We had to bring in troopers off the street.
But
I mean, that is true. They did do that.
But I disagreed with them. When I made my vote and said no, I disagreed with them. And how, having said that, I have reached out to them. I have a meeting at 10:15 today with several members of the LGBT community. And it's been very professional. I had one of them walk up to me yesterday and say, you know, I want to lobby you on the bill. I heard her position on the bill, and I said, well, I respectfully am going to have to disagree with you. And she said, wow, this is great. I understand your position. And a fellow colleague was standing there, and she said, I can't believe how civil this was and how this was handled. So this year, the debate, everything has been very polite, very professional.
But we're just starting.
We're just starting. But I have already disagreed with them, and they have treated me with respect. I have treated them with respect.
Has that always been the case?
Again, in the past, there have been issues as to how they have addressed the process. Having said that, I'm not going to hold those mistakes in how they approach that process against them. I'm going to look at the merits of this legislation and make a determination on the merits of this legislation and the commitment that I made to the voters of my district.
Assistant Majority Leader Representative Brent Crane with us, District 13 in Nampa. More coming up next.
Getting more done before sunrise than anyone. Kevin Miller in the Morning on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Living the dream each and every day. Blessed to be a part of your morning. Thank you all for joining us. K. Miller in the Morning, 580 KIDO. State Representative Brent Crane with us here. A very candid conversation about Add the Words. Most folks, they'll say it on the radio, they may say it amongst themselves, believe that this hearing will be nothing more than shenanigans, nothing more than a lot of allegations. But on the other hand, the proponents of the Add the Words folks will say, I have been discriminated against. I have done this. Now, we've had those folks on, and they never really gave us any specifics on this. How concerned are you about this hearing?
I think Chairman Tom Lurcher has been around the legislature for over 20 years. You couldn't have a better man handling this type of a situation than Chairman Lurcher. He understands how to run a committee. He understands the national scrutiny, the state scrutiny that will be on this issue. You'll have a very fair, you'll have a very thorough, and a very professional committee process. Everyone will have the opportunity to have their voice heard. We're going to hear from everyone. We're not going to try to exclude anyone. If you have an issue you want to bring forward, pro, con, whatever, we want to make sure that this issue is fully vetted, and then the committee will make their vote and will live with the results of that decision.
I don't think anybody has an issue when it, especially the audience of this program, when we're talking about the committee being fair. I think that if folks, and like a lot of things that don't go our way, that if all of a sudden you get 3 minutes and you're going on for seven and order in the court, oh, boo, hiss, because these folks feel passionately about this issue. That's got to be a concern. You might not say that to me right now, but that's got to be a concern.
No, it's actually not a concern. I have sat with Chairman Lurcher. He has a different perspective on this type of an issue. Now, it's up to him to set the rules. He can say, look, I'm going to get everyone 3 minutes, or he can say, look, if you want to talk for a half hour, you can talk for a half hour. Chairman Lurcher and I have talked about this issue before. He does not like to limit debate or testimony on a particular subject. He has done it in the past. I do not know what he will do on this particular issue. But one of his points he made to me, he said, Brent, this is the people's house. Our job is to serve the people, and their voice needs to be heard. And I have absolute confidence and trust in the way that he will run that meeting, that everyone will feel like when they left that, you know what, whether I felt like my position got voted in favor of today or not, the process was fair. And that's what we're responsible for, is to making sure that the process is fair.
Well, I think personally that if I want to start lobbying people, I'm going to go post up some pasty notes up there, post-it notes, and start getting in the doorways. Of course, I'll be stuffed and cuffed. That's my opinion here, but
certainly.
Let's talk a little bit about traditional family and your stance against this legislation that you've been very honest about. Look, they've lobbied. You've gone back and forth. Hey, I made a commitment. Unlike other folks, I'm going to keep my word here. Tell me why that's important.
Well, I believe that the traditional family, a mother, a father, is the foundation and the fabric that holds our society together. And I believe the family is extremely important and plays an extremely important role in keeping a normal society in place. And so whenever you begin to look at legislation potentially that will undermine the family or will redefine the family, what is the family, I think you have to proceed with caution. And I'm not comfortable with this legislation.
But then the name-calling commits.
Like I said, Kevin, I have been extremely pleased. My wife and I were just talking about this last night.
I'm with you this year. It's early, but and everything's gone their way. But let's go to the last year. We had former Senator LeFevre on talking about this, that, and the other. She was afraid to come in here. Now, I'm a lot of things, but come on. I'm about as intimidating as a cream puff. And just like you, we wanted the dialogue. And what has happened in the past, look at the folks that disagree with the governor when it comes to his stance on Idaho's constitution protecting marriage. They call him horrible names on Facebook and Twitter and everything else. That has to happen. Maybe it's not the people you talk to, but it has to happen.
I'm optimistic that it will not happen, that we can have a civil discourse, that we can have a disagreement on this issue, that we can have a full discussion on this issue. And what I have seen so far this year has led me to believe that it will continue in that fashion. Now, last year when we had some antics that you have referenced, I actually went to leaders of this group and I said, that is not effective at all. And I think that you guys need to think about how you are addressing the process. There is a proper way to address the process. So far this year, I have been very impressed, and I anticipate nothing different than the way that they have conducted themselves this year.
What's the mood on this bill, or this hearing to have a hearing to have this bill?
From the proponent's side, there's elation and joy. There's great excitement and anticipation.
In the cloakroom.
From those that are in opposition, no one is afraid to have the hearing. Everyone is ready to have the hearing. And I think that the speaker made the right call in saying now is the time. Let's have the hearing. Let's let them have their day in court, so to speak, to make their case, and let those that are in opposition have their day in court to make their case.
Do you think, and again, Representative Crane at 580KIDO, you're on the inside, but do you think the overwhelming media narrative, this is historic, this is going to happen, it's a great day, it will influence politicians to make that a self-fulfilling prophecy?
There's no doubt that media plays a role in the process, and it can be a very influential role in the process. it is not going to sway my position on this particular issue. And I don't feel like that it will sway my colleagues' position on this particular issue, whether that's in favor or against. I think for the most part, people know where they're at on this issue. There may be a few that don't, but I think by and large, whether you're pro or whether you're con, you know where you're at on this issue.
Well, can a person who, like you, agrees with the traditional family, does not see a necessary need to have this legislation, get their message out on the big channels, in the newspaper, or will you be positioned?
You can. You know, I think that the media is taken up with this issue, and they're very interested in this issue. And I think to be a good media outlet, you should present both sides of the issues to your listeners or to your readers. And when I made the no vote the other night, they were right there to ask me why. And so I was able to explain what my position was and why I voted no.
Representative Crane, we appreciate that. We'd love to have you back.
Thank you. Anytime.
Good luck to you, by the way.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
And thanks for standing up for us. We do appreciate that.
Certainly. We'll do.
You're listening to Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO.
And back weekdays at 9. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Men, 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 manly men, 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 manly men, men, men.
Men, 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 manly men.
Men, 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 manly men.
538, Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. Dave Burnett with us for the Manly Man segment. And you take a look at just some of the stories today. It's great to have these stories on Monday, Dave. There's just so much to talk about. It's not like those days, well, Dave, you got anything? Well, I thought you had something. Well, do you have something? Well, no, I don't have something. A lot to talk about today.
Good morning, Kevin. Yeah, lots going on. A busy weekend.
Well, I guess we start with the big story, President Obama coming to the Treasure Valley, getting an interesting response on social media and other places.
It is. It's kind of funny as I've, you know, different people posted on their Facebook site and then seeing reaction back and forth, you know, from people. Nah, 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 you know, it's like, man, opened a can of worms on a lot of social media sites.
Well, indeed. And then people have to wonder why the president is coming here with his victory tour, if you will. The president deciding to do things his own way. He's liberated. And coming to Idaho, now people say this is the first time that he's come to Idaho, but I do believe, didn't he have a chance, was it 3 or 4 years ago, didn't he go up north for like a second or two? I'm trying to remember.
One of those airport stops?
I believe so, because I can remember, you know, during doing the show for years and years, saying, hey, why doesn't the president come to Idaho, and actually urging him to come to Idaho several years ago.
I can't remember if he made that, you know, that Lewiston or Coeur d'Alene stop. I can't remember if he did or not.
Yeah.
If he did, it wasn't very long.
Right. It was one of those grip and grins and everything else. And everybody keeps going, well, this is the first time he's been here as president. But I think that he did visit the state because it was one of those things. Well, I dare you to come here, blah, blah, blah. And I think it was like 2010, 2011. But anyway, I digress. The president coming to Idaho, the big question is, besides folks that are automatically his base, are people actually happy to see him here?
You know, that's a good question. And, you know, and the other thing, and I will say this, and I do mean this, the president decided to come here. His handlers. Do you think he's sitting down at his desk going, now, I think for my route, I'll go here, then I'll go there. Somebody came and presented and went, all right, somebody checked off on his list, and they did it. I mean, he's got other things going on as to whether he spends Wednesday in Boise or not. I'm just telling you, you know, that's within that's his handlers.
One good news for the area, though, is that the president will not be any bigger than when he comes to the Treasure Valley the day after the State of the Union. He'll be buzzing. He'll have the attention of the world. And we do have a handy-dandy blog for you at 580kido.com where I urge the president to use this forum here in the Treasure Valley to demand that Pastor Saeed Abedini is released. His wife, they haven't confirmed. They haven't not confirmed she would like to meet with the president. Hasn't mm-hmm. done that. The president has made a statement. He wants Pastor Saeed released. They have made overtures to the Iranian government. And again, 580kido.com, we actually ask you to read that, share it, put some pressure, raise some significance. And not only Pastor Saeed, but there are about five or six Americans who are being held in Iran.
Yeah. So, you know, if anything, use it as a positive to turn it into a ability to put pressure on the administration to address the issue. So more so than they have. So that would be a good positive spin on the whole thing. But yeah, I find it fascinating. In fact, I'm a little surprised it's not, when I first heard this on Friday, my first thought was, oh, this is going to be a stop in a hangar at Gowan Field, step out of the plane, say, hey, get on the plane, leave. But as it turns out, no, it's going to be at Cavan Williams Center, which then again, that makes me scratch my head. Everybody's got to stand on that turf. And by the way, now, and let me forewarn you, if you're going, just standing on that artificial surface, it's very difficult because it's kind of squishy. So, you know, wear comfortable shoes.
I'm surprised they're going to let anybody inside the Blues' secret facility.
Well, that's not that secret. You can go into it.
I mean, that's going to cause a lot of damage, possibly.
Well, it's not blue either. It's green, by the way. But you would think they'd make it blue, but it's green.
We always love that correction before 5:45 in the morning.
But I live for it. I said to myself on the way, I hope Kevin says it's blue in the Cavan Williams.
An expression, but my point being that could, you know, all these people on it damage it? And you're going to go, no, but I mean,
they'll cover it with a tarp or something, probably. That would be my guess. But still, wear comfortable shoes because, you know, standing on that turf, it's squishy. So I'm just surprised that they aren't doing it in Taco Bell Arena, which maybe the venue's too big in Taco Bell Arena.
Aren't they having a basketball game that night?
Are they? I can't remember.
I heard somebody tweeting about it. Well, let's disrupt the game.
So my question is this. Is the president spending the night here, or is he's in Kentucky the next day? Or does he leave here and fly back to Kentucky, or is he spending the night here in Boise?
I think I've heard he has another stop in the West.
Oh, does he? Okay.
That's what I've heard. I should be getting some more information from the, well, I can't really say because they monitor this program right now, but I am working some sources this morning.
Okay. And it is funny, when I first found out, and it was through social media, I found out on Friday, from one of our gals that works with us when we do basketball, she does all social media. She had the information long before I saw it anywhere else, and then she confirmed it out of the White House. And then so I started tweeting out to you and to some other people, and I thought, oh, man, with what I've said, probably my phone's on the radar now.
Yeah.
Because all I said was, you know, we're going to put a plan in place, blah, blah, blah. Which, by the way, if all goes according to plan, if you don't get tickets to go see the president, you'll hear it here. We'll carry his comments on the air here on KIDO.
Now we've played it straight. By the way, a couple other things. Our poll question of the day, are you ready to add the words at 580KIDO.com? And coming up this week, we'll have another poll question. How many people really are pumped up that the president are here? You referenced the contentious reaction on social media to the president coming here.
Yeah, you know, and this is, I didn't put anything on mine. I don't really ever put much of anything on my Facebook site, but several people in the building, some slappies did, and then all of a sudden the negative comments started pouring in, and this particular FM slappy started going, oh, wait a minute, be nice, please.
Well, you've got to know your audience.
Yeah, which I found that absolutely fascinating. Just some people, it's just like, stay away, don't waste your time or money here.
Well, and when we did try and make a run to bring in Obama, in fact, I think I'll take credit for that because I did call for him to do that.
Do
come
what?
Come to Idaho.
Oh, okay. Go ahead and take credit. May as well.
Yeah, but when I do, then you smack me, and I don't feel like getting smacked today.
I've already smacked you. I'm almost done smacking. I only got one more smack for you today.
That was kind of a different program, but among many of the incarnations. All right. I mean, like I said, we can go so many places. Dave Burnett's pick on Monday today here at 580KIDO.
Dave Burnett's pick on Monday.
Yeah, we're going to spin the wheel. Spinning the wheel.
Well, I think the other thing, people are going to be talking about that. Okay, so, you know, get your tickets this afternoon, 4 to 7, if you want to do that for the president. But I think the other thing people will be talking about, teams are now selected for the Super Bowl. They have played their way in.
Right.
Or played their way out, as it were.
Right.
I want to know what's wrong with Morgan Burnett.
Mm.
No relation.
I thought so.
He, of course, the safety for Green Bay, who intercepted, what was it, a minute and something left in the game? Intercepted a pass from Russell Wilson and then slides at the 45-yard line. Why didn't he run into field goal range? Why did he slide? What was he thinking?
Well, I have to say, and much to the chagrin of people listening that are now Seattle Seahawks fans, I was going for Green Bay. I didn't know that this was a Seattle town until I went to Fred Meyer Saturday morning.
Oh, it's a Seattle town.
Yeah.
And you're going to hear a lot of cock-a-doodle-doo, a lot of crowing going on this morning of how great they are.
Right.
So this is one of those games of, yeah, and I will give Seattle credit. They came back. They won the game. But I scratched my head going, how'd that happen?
Right.
How did that happen? Green Bay was firmly in control of this game, and they let it go. I don't know that it was so much that Seattle won as it was that Green Bay lost it.
Right.
But, yeah, Leo Burnett intercepts that pass and then slides. Why didn't he keep running? Try to get a touchdown. What is he doing?
Well, he was Green Bay played not to lose. And really, you take a look at how they exposed Russell Wilson. And quite frankly, I'm tired of hearing about American Family Insurance from Russell Wilson and living your dreams. And, yeah, it was great. Now, Russell Wilson, a lot of people don't know this, was a great quarterback at NC State. Couldn't commit to coach Tom O'Brien.
Mm-hmm.
Tom O'Brien made a bad call, said, well, then you got to go. Then he went to Wisconsin. And it was an ideal situation for him, just like going to Seattle was an ideal situation for him. Russell Wilson was married. Then he got a divorce. Now he's a spokesman for Obamacare. I'm just telling you, folks, stories that you're not going to hear. He's the greatest quarterback ever. And I'm thinking, well, what happens if they make him pass from the pocket? And granted, last year he had a lot better receivers. This year, not so much. He doesn't have really a game breaker, if you will.
Yeah, well, but I'll give him credit. They came back and won when it counted, and they had more points on the end of the board. It's just still one of those. It wasn't so much they won as that Green Bay lost.
Right.
That was my feeling on that. In the second game, that wasn't even a game. But my question is this for you. Why is it controversy always surrounds New England when it comes to cheating?
Well, Bob Kravitz, and the story that Dave is referencing is a story out of Indianapolis with Bob Kravitz, who is like the dean of sports writers in Indianapolis. He's on Part of the Interruption all the time, a big muckety-muck sports show, very credible guy. He's the only one coming up with a story saying that the Patriots deflated the balls during the game to give them a better grip.
Did they?
I don't know.
And if they did, and again, I don't think Bill Belichick did it. But if
did you say Bella cheat?
Oh, I did, didn't I? Well, they did lose one draft pick already proven to be stealing hand signals from the Jets. Why would you steal them from the Jets? Come on. They already lost one draft pick, and the NFL will decide whether there was some foul play going on here in deflating the balls, because there are specifications.
How do we know the Patriots did it? Who says the Colts didn't do it?
Well, where was the game being played?
Foxborough.
Mm-hmm. Who's in charge of the balls?
The officials. They get the balls before the game, and then they're in charge of them. So,
but the kickers get their own balls. They get to work out with those balls on the sidelines.
They have officials on the sidelines as well. But, I mean, everybody, Keyshawn and everybody ripping the Patriots, they're jealous. Even Mike Lupica on the sports reporters. Why do everybody goes after the Patriots? Because they can't acknowledge that Bill Belichick and Tom Brady are the greatest 1-2 tandem or 1-1 that the NFL has ever seen. They're two drop passes away from winning a record, five Super Bowls together? A
whole bunch. And to be honest with you, if Russell Wilson plays like he did yesterday, it's overdone.
Mike Lupica said, with a team that's going on, like with a team that's, so talented, Tom Brady's never had Jerry Rice. He had Randy Moss for a couple seasons. Somebody pointed this out. I mean, Tom Brady takes less money. He doesn't do any, the players change every week. He doesn't complain. He just makes it happen. And Bill Belichick, I mean, this is five, six Super Bowls for them? The record together was Bradshaw and Knoll, four Super Bowls, which they won. And I thought that was always the greatest tandem. But, why are they mad? Because the Patriots are arrogant. The Patriots outthink people. I mean, they had a tackle catch a touchdown yesterday. Who would have thought? They're just crazy.
Well, so did Seattle, so I wouldn't cluck too much about that.
Well, I would, because I would put up Bill Bell. I mean, yeah, why not? What do you mean cluck too much about it? Seattle who? What, with the Seattle?
On the fake field goal.
Right. Fake field goal. Did Seattle ever do it during the regular season? What offensive innovations has Seattle done in comparison? Yeah, I'm going to cluck about it because these guys are brilliant. The play against Baltimore where they have, I think it's Vereen out there declaring himself ineligible. Who else comes up with that stuff? Nobody likes to be outsmarted, and I think that's why people do that. And that the Seattle Seahawks, and again, let me apologize in advance to the Seahawks fans, as arrogant as they are, had to resort to a fake field goal. Great play.
Now, wait a minute. It's not innovative on New England's part and fake trickery on Seattle. It's innovative on both parts.
It's not innovative. People run fake field goal plays all the time. I mean, people do that. When's the last time in the line of scrimmage have you ever seen anybody have a tackle catch a touchdown pass?
Well, there was a tackle that caught one yesterday for Seattle.
No, no, no. I'm not talking about special teams. I'm talking about first and 10, second and 10, third and 10. When have you ever seen that?
I think it happens.
No, when? Well, if it happens, tell me.
It happened on January 3rd.
Well, but you're
saying
I can't give you a date.
It does happen.
Right. So you're saying that New England doesn't innovate offensively?
No, I'm not. I never said that.
So Seattle had to resort to and again, if you're the toughest man on the planet, you don't use a fake field goal to get a touchdown against the team you're favored to beat. If you have your owner and the 12th man and you're all big and bad and you're the best, you're not down, 16-0.
I just don't understand how it's innovative for one team to do something like that, but not innovative for the other team.
It isn't innovative. Tell me the innovations that Seattle had. Prove me wrong. I think that a fake field goal is not very innovative compared to who would have ever thought of a rule that has been around forever. Actually, Saban and Lane Kiffin started this stuff, but it's been around forever in football. You declare who is eligible and who isn't. It really messes with your mind. I just think, who else has done that? And then you go back to New England when they were one of the first adopters of the speed offense, the spread offense. All these things. These guys are ahead of the game. Seattle, very talented with Marshawn Lynch. I mean, I don't know how you stop Marshawn Lynch without stopping Russell Wilson with that read option. Yeah. That's an innovation that Seattle brought in, and they mastered it. They took what San Francisco did and took it to the next level.
Which is the only hope that Seattle has against New England, by the way.
I got to tell you, though, that Marshawn Lynch.
He is their hope.
I mean, he reminds me of an old-school running back like an Earl Campbell, and that's mm-hmm. tough to talk about these days with these backs, but he's just a beast.
Yeah, he is. And as I said, he's their only hope for beating New England. That's it.
Well, here, let me apologize again. I think Richard Sherman's becoming a caricature of himself.
Well, he hurt his hand.
No, so. But I mean, he reminded me of Mr. T in Rocky. The way he's just losing it.
I got to run here. Traffic now, Kevin, as you're coming out of Canyon County.
And coming up, we'll take a look at the president coming to the Treasure Valley. And are you ready to add the words? Details next. Stay tuned. 580 KIDO.